we saw signals in our audience that people are kind of struggling with this whole time management thing, you know, like, oh my God, I got so much to do. How do I do it all?
Yeah, we do live in a time of, in like an age of overwhelm, I think. Yeah, it's quite normal that basically everybody has too much to do. Everybody has too much input. So I think it is probably becoming a more and more common feeling of, holy shit, how do I manage my time? How do I do all of it? Inbox is overflowing. Yeah. So I think we've definitely, like you say, we've been seeing people come to us with that question. We've seen clients struggle with that. So we thought, let's just take the topic of time management itself. How does one do that? How does one get out of this very unpleasant feeling of never having enough time to do the things you want to do?
Because the surface level solutions that you would find on YouTube or whatever, you know, no hate, but the five best tips or the five best apps on how to manage your time, the AI assisted whatever calendar.
Yeah,
like, AI created this calendar for me. Great. Now I don't even decide what to do. You know.
Yeah, I do think there's a lot of solutions that are band-aid solutions, and of course also the problem with content is always that the stuff that gets the most attention is usually not the most useful stuff because. Yeah. Obviously, it's exciting. What are the latest AI-powered to-do list apps or whatever? Okay, sure. But that doesn't actually address the core issue. So let's try and address the core issue instead. In our typical fashion, right? Let's try to go against the grain a little bit and see if we can dig a bit deeper. And so right away, some of the things I want to touch upon. So if you have the time management problem, I think the first thing to realize is that it doesn't... In a way, time management is the wrong term.
Right.
Because I think it actually has very little to do with how you manage your time. And it has much more to do with priorities, your ability to set priorities, your ability to say no to things. And what I also want to touch upon is the idea of energy management. Because in terms of like your personal energy, right? Do I feel energized or not? Do I feel motivated or not?
Right.
Because your personal state, your personal energy level actually... Again, makes a bigger difference than, you know, whether you've time boxed stuff in your calendar or not.
Yeah. Yeah. State management, essentially, right? I'm sure every one of us has had the experience of just being on fire and being so motivated. You don't even know what time it is. You don't care, right? And then that same version of you at some point is like dragging your heels. You're like, I can't do anything.
Yeah. And funnily enough, I had a day like that 2 days ago. I had one of those nights where I just couldn't sleep. I don't know why, but I got maybe 4 hours of sleep or something. And it was funny in a way to observe myself the next day because, of course, I just felt slow, right? I felt like everything was, I had like lag in my perception of the world. But also, I noticed that, I was just like unmotivated. I was generally pessimistic. And I caught myself over and over again, you know, starting to have some like pessimistic train of thought and then being like, hold on. You don't actually believe this. You're just tired, you know. but I'm aware enough to be like, okay, I didn't get enough sleep. That's going to affect me in various ways, and because I'm aware of it, I can manage it and not take myself too seriously in that state. Mm. But then, think about what if that's your normal state, right? What if you generally don't get enough sleep, and you don't? I mean, maybe you think. You're a pessimist, but actually you just need sleep, right? Maybe you think you're unmotivated, but you just need sleep. So this is just to hint at like, this is the whole state management thing. It can be invisible to us. It can be invisible to us. For me, it was just a very clear example because I usually get enough sleep. I had this one exception and I just noticed how it completely nuked my state and it completely nuked my ability to be at my best. Like I said, I want to touch upon how that plays into it and how we can take control of that.
Like with the band-aid solutions, right? Like that's not solving the problem, that's addressing the symptoms. That's usually what it is, right?
Yeah.
So we want to solve the problem.
Okay, let's start with, I think that the first thing to address, so if someone comes to me and says, hey, I have this time management problem, I have too much to do, not enough time to do it, I'm working all day, et cetera, et cetera. The first thing that I would look at is setting crystal clear priorities. Getting to the point where how clear are you about what is important and what is not important in your day? And this is also something like was one of the reasons we're talking about this is because we're doing focus and action again, our productivity class. And so we've been talking to people, and that's one of the things we do is we help people do this goal setting. We help people break down, okay, what is actually important? What can you say yes to? What do you have to say no to? And how do you break that down into manageable steps? And this is a huge thing. Like, it seems obvious, but like you do many of these goal setting coaching calls. And I think you often see people like, it's almost like the massive relief of having clarity about, oh, this is what I need to do. Okay.
Yeah, it's true. It's usually much bigger in our head. Like, if at all, usually it's not even clear. There's like an automatic assumption of like, oh, I probably would not be able to accomplish this. Mm-hmm. But then seeing it out, it's like, oh, that's all I have to do every week, right? Obviously, that's in addition to living your life, managing your family, et cetera. But we do identify what is the most important thing that needs to happen that week. It's mm-hmm. kind of like playing, I'm torn between two examples. I was going to say Jenga, but I think Legos is better.
Okay.
Like, you know, you're building a Lego wall. You know, brick, brick, brick. Each week, you just keep piling on these bricks. Yeah. And at some point, you're like, oh, the castle's built.
Yes. Right. Yes, exactly. So, what you said there is like, you pick one thing, right? You say, okay, what's one thing you want to accomplish in a month or in 3 months or whatever it is? And then let's break that down.
Yeah.
And that level of clarity of like, okay, I want to have this Lego castle by the end of the month. And every day I just have to lay these bricks. That makes such a huge difference. It makes such a huge difference to the feeling of I don't have enough time and to the feeling of overwhelm. So that's the first thing. It's super stressful to be in a situation where everything's vague and in a situation where everything seems important and urgent, which means you can't decide what is important. Because, okay, how to manage your time better? Do less stuff, right? Spend your time on the most important things. Stop doing the less important things. Then the question is, well, what's important? I don't know. So let's talk about that. The focus and action definition of priorities is, or the focus and action definition of productivity that we use is, productivity is making meaningful progress towards your most important goal, right? So, and that's the filter you can use. You choose a goal. That's the most important goal. And you go, well, is the thing that I'm about to work on, is that going to help me make meaningful progress towards this goal? If the answer is no, don't do it, right? And that's one of the most important skills to develop, is say no to stuff. Another way to think of that is, does it move the needle, right? This is something we've often used that term, right? Does it move the needle? Am I doing work that actually moves the needle? Or you recently introduced this idea, does it make the boat go faster?
Yeah.
So where does that come from?
I learned it off these guys, Sean Twing and Andre Chaperon, mm-hmm. which you randomly mentioned them one day.
Right.
And I come across their stuff. I'm like, oh, you're amazing.
Yeah, they have so good stuff.
Hugely recommend them, right? He talks about Sean Twing. He mentions this book called Will It Make the Boat Go Faster? And mm-hmm. it's a story about how one of the English Olympic teams, they hadn't won a gold medal in like 90-something years, and how they did it. And mm-hmm. one of their orienting questions was, will it make the boat go faster?
Right.
The boat being, will this help us? Like, the boat being your goal, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So will it help us achieve or win a gold medal?
Yeah.
And then the faster is yes or is it going to help accomplish that goal? Yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, I think that's a great clarifying question. So if you ask, what is your boat basically, right? And does this thing make the boat go faster? All of this is basically, these are all ways to think in order to gain this level of clarity, right? In order to gain the level of clarity of what actually matters, what's important, what is it that I actually want to be working on? Because, like I said, I think that's the most important thing to address is you need to have clear priorities and you need to be good at basically triaging, right? Because everybody, I think nowadays, has just too much stuff coming at them. And this is actually especially true if you're an entrepreneur and you're starting to see some success, where very quickly the number of opportunities you have greatly outweighs your available time and resources.
Right.
So initially, you might be scrambling for, you know, whatever it is. It's like trying to get your first customer, trying to get a sponsor, trying to get something going. But pretty quickly, when you build a business and you start gaining traction, you get too much, like you get too many requests, like your customers or your clients say, oh, can you also do this? Can you also do that? Can you also do the other? You have too many people saying, oh, can I publish an article on your website as soon as you get a bit of traffic? Or can I, you know, let's collaborate, or can I sponsor you, or can you, whatever. You very quickly get too much.
Yeah.
And then there's all these opportunities. Yes, sure, I could do all this stuff, but I have to be good at saying no to the things that are not aligned with my most important priorities. So that's, so with that, right, this is the first and most important thing to do to manage your time. You have to ask yourself, how good am I at saying no to things? How good am I at identifying the things that matter the most and saying no to the other things? And if that's something you struggle with, then that's the problem to solve. You have to decide, you have to decide what is important to you, what is, what is it that is important enough to say yes to? And in a way, I like this idea that if you can't say no, then your yes is meaningless. So you have to, and this is true for many things, right? This is also true for how you communicate with people. If you never say no, your yes means nothing. But it's also important for exactly this kind of thing. Like in your business, if you say yes, this is important, yes, this is also important, this is also important, every time someone comes with a suggestion, yes, 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 what happens is that it becomes meaningless, right? It's, if someone comes to you and says, hey, should we do this? And you say, yes, this is also important, but you say yes to everything, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything, right? So you have to solve this problem. And you have to stop abusing future you. So this is like the Superman problem where, you know, more work comes your way and you go, sure, I'll figure it out. I'll just take this on as well. And future me will somehow be superhuman and just do, you know, 50 right. hours of work in 10 hours.
You're kind of describing the procrastination problem, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm just going to put off everything because figure it out.
I'll figure it out later. Yeah, yeah. Future me is going to do it. No, future you is not going to be Superman. Future is going to be you, and is going to be like, uh-oh, how do I do all this? So now, if you're wondering, what if I can't set priorities? What if, you know, I've basically emphasized this point for a while now. You've got to say no to stuff. And you're like, no, I can't. I don't know what's important. I can't say no. Yeah. So, okay. If that's the case, my first question is, are you a people pleaser? Mm. Okay. Are you a people pleaser in general? So is the reason you don't say no to anything is because you don't want to upset people? Are you constantly, basically, are you overwhelmed with stuff to do because you don't say no because you're afraid of upsetting people, because you always need to please people? Unfortunately, that's the case for many, for many of us. And that's the problem you need to address.
Yeah. Well, another way of looking at that is we're not really encouraged to be assertive these days, right? So I don't blame anyone for having this issue. But it is now affecting your professional life at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's this kind of self-sacrificing thing where you're trying to please everyone, but you're essentially, you're abusing yourself and you're not actually doing people as much of a favor as you think you are. So if this is the problem, what I would suggest is that you... So obviously there's a very well-known book called No More Mr. Nice Guy by
Robert Glover.
Robert Glover. Which is, I think, a good read. There's another one called Not Nice by someone whose name I've forgotten. We'll put it in the show notes. Not Nice is kind of a fairly epic tome, but it's very, very practical. So if you're looking for like really practical exercises to overcome your niceness, that is something I recommend. And another thing that might be worth looking at is attachment theory. So if you're an insecurely attached person, you might be people pleasing because you're so afraid that people abandon you if you say no or assert yourself. And there is a book called Slaying the Fear or Slaying Your Fear, something like that. We'll put that in the show notes as well. So those are basically some starting points. And like I said, this is probably not what you expected in a time management podcast, right? But the truth is, this is so often the case. You're just self-sabotaging. And it's because of often like this might be a deeply unconscious thing, might come from way back in your childhood. But this is, for many people, this is the main obstacle. This is the main obstacle. This is what you have to solve so that when I tell you, say no to stuff that isn't important, you're not paralyzed, you know?
You don't freak out.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's a good point. It's like, hey, can we do this pointless thing? Of course. Why wouldn't we?
Yeah, exactly.
We just talked about this.
Exactly. So that's one thing to address. The other thing that might be worth doing is basically remembering that you're going to die.
Yeah.
Remember that everything ends and you're going to die and everyone you know is going to die and the world is going to end and the sun is going to burn out. And given that, knowing that you don't have unlimited time.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have unlimited time. This is, and we spend, it's so weird. I think there's a quote about this that I now can't fully remember. It's like we treat money like it's this scarce resource. We treat time like there's unlimited of it, but it's more the other way around.
Yeah.
Right? Time is the thing that's truly a scarce resource that you can never get back the time you've spent. But we treat it like we have unlimited of it. It's crazy. Yeah. And you have to realize, basically there's two things of... doing some kind of a memento mori exercise, reminding yourself that you're mortal, reminding yourself that you are going to die, can help in two ways. So the first is that you realize, oh, my time is actually limited. I have to make good decisions about how I use my time. It actually matters. And the second is also, it actually doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So there are some things where you're like, no, but I have to do this. Oh, what will people think? Oh my God, if I don't do this, whatever, someone's going to be disappointed or something. It's like, okay, but... whatever, you're going to die.
Who cares?
Yeah. So in a way, it's like, it doesn't matter. You might as well. So it kind of can give you both perspectives, right? It's very important and also it doesn't matter. So specifically, what I recommend you do is think about if you knew for certain that you were going to die in 10 years. So 10 years from today, you're going to drop dead. If you knew that for certain, what would you do? What would be important to you? What would not be important? The reason I use a 10-year timeline is because 10 years is enough to do anything, but it's not enough to put it off until later, right? Because if you think about, what if I only had 1 year left to live? Then you're probably going to be like, well, I want to go see my friends and family and maybe travel the world, do some bucket list stuff, right?
Yeah.
But it's not, you're not going to start a business. You're not going to, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not enough time.
Yeah.
But in 10 years... you can do anything, anything that's important to you, and you're not going to do a 10-year farewell tour, right? Everybody's going to get tired of it.
So, bro, just saw it yesterday. What the hell?
So 10 years is a good thing to think about. If you were absolutely certain you're going to die in 10 years, what would you do and what would you say no to? Right? Because you can't be spending time doing stuff that doesn't matter, that isn't aligned with your values, that isn't actually important to you. If you know that you only have 10 years.
Yeah, man, on the memento mori topic, like taking that, I guess, one step further or expanding that, one way that I think about it, and I see this in my friends, it's like we operate with the assumption that we have infinite time and resources, right? It's like, oh, I need to go do whatever, X, Y, Z. It's like, okay, I'll figure it out. Okay, well, you can exploit this resource here. It could be whatever. It could be a product, a program, et cetera, right? But instead of doing that, it's like, no, I'm not going to listen to the guy who put 15, 20 years of his life and is distilling it into like this 10-minute clip for me. No, I'm going to go figure it out on my own because I have nothing else better to do in my life than to reinvent the wheel for some reason.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's actually also something that took me way too long to learn. I was very focused on always doing everything myself and reinventing the wheel, essentially. And I had to learn that first through books, I learned to be like, okay, I'm just going to learn from people who've already solved this before me.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I've then learned to spend time and money on like coaching and basically hiring experts, like basically spending a lot of money for someone to come in and save me a bunch of time, right? Instead of going, no, I have to do this. I have to do it. I have to save money or I have to keep my budget tight. But then I spend months and months on something that I could have solved in a few days by just giving someone a lot of money, right?
Okay, so this brings me back to, you remind me of a conversation I had with an ex-girlfriend. So she phrased it perfectly. She's like, well, what do you value more, time or money?
Yeah.
And that's an excellent framework to look at life through, right? Because yeah. she would make all her decisions based on that. And I was like, huh, very interesting.
Mm.
So the reason I brought up the thing about like how you can solve your problems, right? The point I was trying to get across was leverage.
Mm.
Like when you start thinking in terms of leverage and not just one-to-one output, like I do this, therefore that happened.
Yeah.
How can I do this and then like 10 other things happen simultaneously and by tomorrow morning, the whole thing is done,
mm-hmm.
right? I got this from, or Naval Ravikant really helped me understand this much better. So part of time management and the things we've been talking about is like, how can you apply leverage to your time management?
And that is also, that brings us back to like setting clear priorities, because you should make the highest leverage things your top priority.
Yeah.
And this is something where, I mean, you can easily waste time on stuff that is just not, that is just not that helpful. And to give an example, a recent example, so I'm doing this retreat in, or it's not really a retreat, it's an immersion in Bali in January. And the way I started that is by selling it. So I started talking to people about it. And I got a sale. I got someone to buy their seat in this immersion before I had a landing page for it, before I had anything set up for it, before I had a name for it, before anything like that, right? And I use this as an example because this is obviously the goal is to do this event and get paid for it. And there's lots and lots of low leverage work I can do on that. I can say, okay, I need a cool, catchy name for it. I need a website for it. I need a landing page for it. Then I need a lead generation funnel for it. I need a wait list. And I need to have email follow-up for people to join the wait list. And I need to have a logo for it. And I need to have a social media account, blah, 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 blah. I could spend a year doing work that in preparation of the thing, you know,
yeah.
and then be like, okay, now I'm ready. Now I'm going to ask someone if they actually want to buy it, right? That's extremely low leverage because none of this stuff is like, okay, I've registered my Instagram account and I've, you know, scheduled out 100 irrelevant picture posts or whatever
right.
that are hopefully going to get people inspired to join my thing. But bottom line, nobody's going to join my thing. It's not that hard to figure out that that's not the path.
But you're raising awareness. You don't understand.
Yeah, I'm raising awareness. Exactly. So I could do all that. That's extremely low leverage because does it make the boat go faster? I need to have, how do I make this happen? I need people to give me money and then I spend that money to make an amazing event, right?
Yeah.
That's how I think about this, right?
Yeah.
So right away, my thinking is I need to have people give me lots of money to join me on this event. If I have enough people do that, then I can make an amazing event. So the first thing I do is I sell it. When I have one sale, I make a sales page
right?
and I start showing that sales page to other people, right?
Right.
And then once I had like 7-8 people indicate interest and was like, okay, clearly I can make this happen. And then I start building a process basically, right? I start building a process for all this other stuff. But the highest leverage thing is I need to get sales. So that's just an example of, and this is a very simple example, but it's just like, you know, I can get on the phone with people and talk to them and see if anyone is interested in this and see if anyone is willing to give me money for this before I do any of the lower leverage stuff.
I think one thing that you've done really well here, the thing that I find prevents people from doing that, there's two. One is like publishing, putting yourself out there in some format, right? Mm-hmm. And the other thing is like aiming for perfection.
Right.
And while that's a fantastic thing to aim for, but to simultaneously, you know, square the circle that version one is going to suck. And
yeah.
the only way I can ever get close to perfection is through iterations by, you know, going back to what Seth Godin says, publishing, shipping.
Yeah. So that's, and in many cases, yeah, the high leverage stuff you can do is the stuff that is closest to making a sale happen, closest to getting you a new client, closest to shipping work, right? Like,
yeah.
So finishing the next product, finishing whatever, the thing. That's usually how you, I mean, that's usually the easiest way to identify the highest leverage stuff.
Right.
It's essentially, how close is this to making me money in a business context, right? How close is this to making me money? Now, in other contexts, let's also briefly talk about this, because obviously, if you're an entrepreneur, one of your high priorities is you need your business to make money. But there's other stuff that's also important. Like, you have other things in your life that you want to spend time on or that require your time. But there, it's really the same idea. So anything else that takes your time, let's say time with your family, obviously is very important.
Yeah.
But even there, you can say, well, how do I make sure that I get quality time with the people that matter to me?
Mm.
Right?
Great point, yeah.
How do I make sure that I get quality time with the people that are important to me? And how do I, and I can basically, I can systematize that to some degree, right? I can say that, okay, for example, I'm going to make sure that at least once a month, I have an entire weekend free to go on a trip or some little adventure with my family, right? And that is, if you can make that happen by having some days where you have less time with your family, where it's like, okay, look, we're not going to, you know, the time that we spend, like, I don't know, sitting on the couch watching shows, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be working on my business instead, right? It's like, yeah, that's less time with your family, but it's less low quality time with your family that buys you the freedom to have more high quality time with your family. And once again, if you think about, you know, what is going to matter by the time I'm dead, your kids are going to remember the weekend trips. They're not going to remember sitting on the couch watching Netflix that much, right?
Right.
So, and you can think about, well, what are your values, right? So when it comes to, so for me, this is like essentially having adventures with friends is something I highly value. And most of the time when I'm, or a lot of the time when I'm hanging out with people I care about, so I'm doing something. I'm like out in nature doing something, for example. I'm going to some workshop, to a retreat, to an event, to anything, right? So I make an event of it.
Yeah.
And, but you know, you might have other values, such as, okay, I want to teach my kids certain things. Okay, well then make sure that there's, you know, you defend that time, that important time, which again means you probably have to say no to other things.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it comes down to the same thing. You have to have a sense of your priorities, right? Because otherwise, you're just constantly feeling guilty. Like, you're feeling guilty because you feel like, oh, but I should be spending more time with my kids right now. But then when you spend time with your kids, you're feeling guilty because, oh, but I should be working right now. And so you're just constantly stressed and not really present with what you're doing.
Yeah, doing neither of them well.
Exactly,
right?
And doing neither of them well.
Majorly.
And you're not helping anyone, which is, again, this is an example of what I said before, is like when you're doing things in a people-pleasy way, you're not actually doing people as much of a service as you think you are, right? Because if you say yes to too many things, then you do it begrudgingly while thinking like, oh, you're feeling bad because right now I should be spending time with my family. And then you spend time with your family and you do it begrudgingly because you're like, oh, but I said yes to 5 things that I should be doing right now. You're not helping anyone.
You're talking about how to be, I guess, productive and efficient while also having a family, right?
I'm using this as an example just because I do want to make sure that we're not just talking about, it's not all about your business, right? And I'm not an advocate of like sacrificing your private life for the sake of making more money or something like that.
Right. If you're single and have nothing else in life and all you do is work, it doesn't matter. You know, be as unproductive as you want because nobody else cares.
I wouldn't have put it that way. Okay, I would have said, no, this is a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity for you to use your time well while you still have it.
It's a great opportunity to shut this podcast off.
Yeah, check, go do something, yeah. No, but yeah, no, that's, I do think that's in a way easy mode, right? It's definitely easier, the fewer obligations you have, and yeah, highly recommended to start making the most of it while that's the case, yeah.
Yeah, and with like, I remember, I think we spoke about this last year, like time management with kids, right? One of the things you had mentioned, like just building on the values thing, what do your actions set an example for?
Yeah.
Right. So you can be the person who like, oh yeah, you know, my dad or mom was always around, but we were always on our phone and not really talking to each other. Mm-hmm. I don't remember, something was playing on the TV at some point. And yeah, that's how, that was my childhood, right? Mm-hmm. Versus like, oh yeah, I remember, Kevin Hart is a great example of this. Mm-hmm. I've heard him on so many interviews at this point. He talks about how when he comes home, they have this time period where in the living room, the entire family gets together and no phones are allowed.
Yeah.
And they only talk to each other. Right. So clearly, the memories that are being built there from the shared interaction, right?
Yeah.
Like, his kids are not going to grow up and they would tell that story and that would be weird. They'd be like, holy shit, like, you guys are weirdos, right?
yeah,
but I remember my dad being there, right? Yeah. So what do you want? What do you want to role model in your kids' lives, right?
Yeah, and I think that's also where actually setting clear boundaries and being like, look, this is one of the things I do. Look, one of the things I do is I spend time working on my business. So that means that there are times where I'm not here for you. And then there are times when I'm very here for you, where I'm very present with you. I think you're also role modeling something valuable by doing that, rather than, again, like being half distracted, right? Yeah. So I do think how I would set priorities here is by really focusing on quality over quantity. Now, this kind of leads us to the next thing, because another kind of key thing, if you want to be less stressed and have better control over your time, is get used to doing undistracted deep work, which is really the flip side of what we just talked about, right? You're just talking about like spending undistracted time with your family instead of with devices and whatnot around. Yeah. Because you want to be actually present to it, because that creates depth, that creates memorable experiences. Well, similarly, the way most of us work is basically insane because we're multitasking. And multitasking is absolutely productivity killer, right? Task switching takes you out of it. And most of us simply don't have the habit of saying, here's an important thing and I'm going to shut down all distractions and just work on this one thing, like single tasking. Single tasking is massively underrated as a way to get things done. And I think this is a time management thing, because if you're in the situation where you always feel like, but I'm so busy, I'm doing all this stuff, but it's not, like, I'm not getting anywhere, or I never have enough time. Mm. Well, it's like, how much of that time are you in laser sharp, undistracted focus on a high leverage thing? And I bet it's not that much.
Yeah.
And again, I'm saying this because it is so unusual for people to do that. It's so normal for people to have like their email thing open, their Slack open, and messages here and messages there, and their phone is pinging, and you have 1,700 tabs at the same time, right? Where you're just searching through. It's like, of course you're not doing focused work. Of course you're not making fast progress like this. And the more you can just reduce all of this stuff and just like focus and hone in on one thing. What we talk about is the 90-minute session, right? We call this the Focus 90 Protocol. If you're not familiar with that and you want to learn it, check it out.
Focusandaction.com/F90.
There you go. So focusandaction.com/F90. We teach this for free. It's an unbelievably effective way to get more work done. So right now, if you think I have a time management problem, try that. Yeah. Try the Focus 90 Protocol and see how much of a time management problem you have after that. And then you can ask yourself, can I do one of these a day? And probably you can.
Yeah.
That is going to solve a big part of your problem. The flip side of it is, if you have the time management problem, you cannot afford to be task switching. You cannot afford to be spending your time doing a whole bunch of unimportant stuff at the same time, right?
I think that comes from a place of, in society, or what we're shown, at least, I guess, socially, is doing more means you're somehow, you're good. Like, here's the little sticker on your chest, right? Yeah, like the star. And then, but if you're busy while you're doing more, then you get the number one medal, right?
Yeah.
But if you do that all the time and you're constantly with your family, checking email, having breakfast, brushing your teeth, responding to emails, oh, wow, you must be really important because you're, look at you, you're always busy. Like, no, your life sucks. That's what's happening.
And we worship busyness because it's almost like visible, right?
Yeah.
So, and I think that's maybe also worth mentioning. So, okay, if you watch me work all day, then depending on how you think, you could probably see my work day and be like, this guy's pretty lazy. Because you'll see me do things like, I go to the gym in the middle of the day, for example. Sometimes I just go for a walk, right? I'm just like, I'm heading out, I'm going for a walk. It could be like half an hour, could be 45 minutes. In the middle of the work day, right? So it's like, what's this guy doing? He's not even being busy, right? This guy must be lazy. But the thing is, it's like, I know that what works for me is when I have clarity about what I'm going to do and I lock in and I get that done. And sometimes what I need to do, like for example, for content creation, I know that what I need is I need to just let my mind work for a bit. So I might spend some time making notes and then I go for that walk. And I know that that's basically the most productive thing I can do right now is I can just let my mind wander. And when I come back, I can crank out 20 scripts for shorts, right, in one session. But if I tried to look busy, it would take me all day to make those 20 scripts, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, who's the artist? Salvador Dali? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, the diffuse mode thinking, right? So that's what he used to do. He had these like two giant balls, I guess, metal balls. And he would like think of an idea, sit on his chair and like almost doze off. Uh-huh. And the purpose of the balls was when his grip gets weak enough, they fall, make a loud bang.
Yeah.
And he wakes up, immediately writes down everything that he came up with.
Exactly. So that's a good example of like, yeah, he's literally dozing off during work, but it's the best way for him to do the thing. And also, you know, one of the reasons also I live like this, right? I don't work 16-hour days or anything like that. It's also because I just don't want to.
Right.
And I know that in a few 90-minute sessions, I can get loads and loads of work done, so I don't feel the need to constantly look busy, right?
Yeah.
So, and I do think that, yeah, the worship of busyness is an enemy of good productivity. So that is, again, that's just a necessity. If you're not in the habit of doing deeply focused, completely undistracted work sessions, recommended for 90 minutes at a time, solve that.
Yeah.
Solve that before you worry about what's in your calendar or what calendar app you use or anything like that.
Yeah. And one more thing I'd like to add. First of all, if you haven't read the Almanac of Naval Ravikant, I highly recommend it. It's brilliant. So one of the things he mentions in there is like, hold yourself accountable to the output, the outcomes you produce, not the inputs, right?
Yes.
So when we go for jobs or whatever, 8-hour shift, 10-hour shift, whatever hour shift, right? You're held accountable to your input, because how can somebody measure, I guess, your individualized output? Mm-hmm. But when you're doing your own business sort of stuff, you can be the guy who's like, oh, I worked, you know, 12 hours a day for 15 years and I never made it. Well, okay, what did you put in the hours though, right? So switching from, actually this leads in perfectly to clarity on priorities as well. One of the things we do when we do our goal setting calls is like, we identify the big goal, then where should we be at the end of month 3, month 2, month 1, and then what are the main things that need to happen this month, the 4 big things, we put them in line. And that's your 4 weekly goal starting from today. So you know what needs to happen by the end of this week, right? Mm-hmm. At no point do we sit down and say, okay, so can you put in 60 hours a week? Or should we, you know, like, I don't care.
Exactly.
If you could do it in 5 minutes and that's, for some reason, that's the only 5 minutes that you could put in this week and it helps you accomplish your goal, great. Yeah, exactly. You're done.
Yeah, yeah. It just means, yeah, exactly. And this is also how I do my work, where I will always have like the most important task for the week and the most important task for the day. And it is something like, okay, I need to make this, whatever, this sales webinar. That was something I recently did. It's like, okay, that is going to take a certain amount of time, but it really doesn't matter how much time it takes, right? It's like, I just know that by Wednesday, I'm going to have it done, right? And it could be like, sometimes it is, I get it all done in one session pretty much. And then I do other things, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes longer, but it doesn't matter. Because it can be like this kind of thing where I'm like, okay, I spent some time working on this presentation and I'm feeling like I'm not creative anymore. So now I go to the gym, I go do something else. I give myself a break and I come back. And it can also be the kind of thing where, especially when it comes to recording content, sometimes I will just be like, I'm not going to record content right now because I'm just not feeling sharp. I'm not feeling in the zone. So yeah, sure, I can turn on the camera and start recording, but I know it wouldn't turn out very well.
Yeah.
And so then a productive thing to do is, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do it later.
Yeah.
Right. But the thing is, the reason I can do that is, again, because I don't have a, it's not a priority for me to look busy, but also because I can trust myself. I know that I'm not making excuses. I know that I'm not putting it off forever. I know that when I'm in the, you know, basically if I'm saying today, I don't feel up for recording this podcast, for example, I know that most likely tomorrow is going to be good. And I know that I'm going to get it done efficiently.
Yeah.
So it's also a thing about self-trust, which I think doing undistracted, deeply focused work is the best way to develop that self-trust. Where you're like, oh, I can get this done. I actually can trust myself to get this done. And yeah, like I said, if you're not already doing this habitually, hugely important to start doing this.
Yeah. And when you were saying that, oh, I know I can put this off, I was like, oh, man, that can be an excuse for the listener, right?
Totally, yeah.
But the other, another thing to add to what you were saying, how you do your weekly goal setting, we have a team culture where every week, beginning of it all, like by the time we meet up and we're working, goals have been set,
yeah,
right? And we have a very long track record of hitting almost all of them all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and also I think with how we set goals, it's never like a competition of, you know, who has more goals or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just like, and it's my emphasis is also always like tell me your most important things to accomplish this week. Don't tell me everything you're going to accomplish this week.
Yeah.
That's bloat, right? So when you look at our goals, it's usually like 3 or 4 things for the week. That doesn't mean we only do 3 or 4 things in a week, but it's just like, I'm going to nail these.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do a bunch of other stuff that's less important.
Yeah, yeah. These absolutely must get done. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So the last thing I want to touch upon is the idea of energy management. So we've already basically talked about it, right? Where it's like, depending on what state you're in, you're going to do great or not great. Hmm. And there's a huge span. There's a huge difference between how productive you are on your best day versus your worst day. And part of this is your basics, such as, are you sleep deprived? If you're sleep deprived, like sleep deprived is one of the best, or sleep deprivation is one of the best ways to like sabotage yourself, right?
Yeah.
So if you want a recipe for how to always feel stressed and overwhelmed, not get anything done, is just sleep half an hour less. That's usually does the trick. But there are also other factors such as, yeah, like your level of motivation and just how energized you feel. And so how can we control that, right? What makes you feel, apart from the basics like sleep, what makes you feel highly energized and what makes you feel kind of like everything is difficult? Like sometimes you have days where it feels like everything's molasses, right? So how does that happen? One of the things there again is clarity. If it's crystal clear to you what you need to get done, it's much easier to be motivated to do it. Whereas if you're just like, oh, I have this endless to-do list, I have no idea what's high priority, and during the day more stuff comes into my inbox, that is very hard to be highly motivated and highly energized to work like that, right? Another thing that we also do with our clients is to connect the work you're doing now with longer term goals and with meaning and purpose.
Yeah.
And because that can be a huge thing. So whenever you're working on something, like obviously if you're working on something that feels meaningful to you, that feels important to you, you're going to be way more motivated than if you're working on something that feels like annoyance or nuisance. This is why nobody's very productive in like filing their tax report, right? Like it doesn't feel meaningful and purposeful.
It's
very hard to motivate yourself to do it. And so you can ask yourself, well, you know, the work I'm doing, is it closer to filing a tax report or is it closer to like living my passion?
Yeah, on the spectrum.
Yeah, on the spectrum, where is it? And if it's anywhere close to filing a tax report, that's a big problem. Yeah.
And if both of those are the same, you must be an accountant.
I have no idea what you're doing listening to this podcast, mate.
Being more productive. Okay, so connecting work to meaning, right?
Yeah, connecting work to meaning. So there it's really good to have clarity about what am I working towards? What is an exciting goal that I'm working towards? But also for the individual task I'm working on, to remind myself of how does this fit into the bigger picture, right? Maybe I'm not excited about writing this specific email or this specific landing page copy or something. But it's like, hold on, why am I doing this? Oh, it's because I want to get clients for this product and I'm actually really So for me, teaching is one of those things that I'm super excited about. I love teaching people.
Right.
I was like, okay, well, I have to do marketing for my product in order for people to buy my courses so I can teach them, right?
Right.
And so there's definitely stuff where I'm like, I'm not that excited about recording this ad or writing this landing page copy or whatever. But if I remind myself, no, if I do a good job of this, I get to teach more people. That is motivating, right?
Yeah, yeah. Another way of looking at it is when you solve a maze, right, on a piece of paper, the way to get it right the first time is to start from the end.
Mm-hmm.
So you start from the end and you figure out backwards to your starting point, right? Mm-hmm. The way to like not to make it incredibly difficult for yourself is to start from the beginning and try to figure out which way works, right? Why the hell did I say that?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm sure you were going somewhere with this.
What was the thing you just said? Oh, connecting work to meaning.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, I remember now. So when you're finding your path, right, from the end goal to where you are right now, all those little twists and turns, like the ideal case for solving the maze is end straight to where you are.
Mm-hmm.
But those twists and turns are the little bullshit annoying things you have to get done in service of accomplishing the goal, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so you're just assigning meaning to the tax report, basically.
Yes.
So, I don't want to go to jail. So yeah. Okay, file this. It's a great goal in life.
Yeah. So another thing there that I think really, really helps and that I want to encourage people to do is to align your work with your strengths.
Hmm.
So as much as possible, do things that you're really good at and or things that you want to get really good at. Okay, that's really the only acceptable exception is I'm doing stuff that I'm not good at, but I want to get good at it. So it's practice. Okay.
Right.
I'm not a big believer in like, oh, you know, you need to like polish out your weaknesses. You need to have like, you know, in a role-playing game, your XP, your attributes, you know, your skill attributes, you have to like get them all to 5. No, don't get them all to 5. Like it's much better to be, you know, the barbarian with all the strength who's just an idiot. Like work within your strength. If you're the barbarian, hit things with your sword, right? Yeah. Or with your axe or whatever. Don't negotiate. Like have someone else do the negotiation, you know?
Oh, man. That's hilarious. We got to put a clip in here if we can. Avengers, the very first movie. Captain America assigns roles, looks at Hulk. Smash.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and I think that's important that you ask yourself, you know, again, if you're unmotivated, if you don't enjoy what you're doing, if you feel like everything's a drag, it's like, okay, are you working at something you're really good at?
Hmm.
And if not, why? Why are you working on this? Or can't someone else be doing this? Because ideally, someone else should be doing this. Of course, if you're, especially like if you're early stages of business, if you're a solopreneur, it's like, well, you have to do everything, unfortunately, right?
Yeah.
So it's harder to do. But that's a problem you should strive to solve as soon as possible. You know, whatever the task is, it should be on the to-do list of someone who's good at it. And then the only other thing is like, if you're doing something that you're very good at and you feel unmotivated to do it, then maybe it's not difficult enough. So you have to match the challenge, the level of challenge to your level of skill. Otherwise you get bored with it essentially. But don't work outside of the sphere of your strengths, basically.
Right. Okay.
All right. And then, so again, if you do these things that we've talked about so far, then your chances of feeling motivated and having a lot of energy to do your work are a lot better. And in terms of time management, if you do this, you're highly energized at your work, you're going to outperform the tired version of you by like 3x or more, right?
Yeah.
It makes a huge, huge difference. And yeah, also one more thing I want to say about your basics. So I talked about, obviously you need to have like rest. You need to be well rested. Sleep is super important. There are other things you can do that like sabotage your energy levels. And I can refer to the CGM video we did. So I wore a continuous glucose monitor for a while to check my sugar levels in response to different things I ate. And one of the things I noticed is that when I eat things that give me a sugar spike, that leads to that sense of low energy. And when I eat things that give me like a steady glucose curve, that leads to that sensation of all day energy. So that's another thing to examine, you know. So if, you know, for example, if you're having something like, I don't know, a pastry with your coffee in the morning, you're giving yourself that spike and crash where then afterwards you're like, oh, but I had coffee. Why am I not feeling more awake? Well, it's because of the sugar crash you're experiencing, right?
Right.
And so for me, I noticed that, and that made a big, big difference when I started adjusting my food based on this. If I avoid foods that give me that sugar spike, I just feel way more energized during the day. And I think another thing that can make a big difference for this is, again, this is all just like basics in a way, like taking care of yourself, right? So getting enough sleep, eating the right kinds of foods or avoiding the wrong kinds of foods. And then doing some, giving yourself some kind of like stillness, introspection. So something like, I like to do evening pages, just writing out my thoughts in the evening, or meditation, you know, just sit in stillness, or even just like long walks in nature, anything like that, that gives you a chance to like unwind. And it's basically because you want to have intensity and rest. So you, in order to do high intensity work, you need to have that counterbalance downtime. And again, I just noticed that if I don't have that, if I don't have some element of stillness or introspection in my life, that will make me feel just more tired, less motivated, makes everything feel more difficult. So those are some things to get in place, and especially examine, like, if that's missing, right? If that's missing, that might be the reason why you feel unmotivated, and why, again, to tie this back to time management, why you feel like you never have enough time for stuff.
Yeah.
It could be that you really need to spend more time like doing nothing or introspecting or meditating in order to put yourself in a state where you have clarity about what matters to me, what can I say no to, and then have the deeply focused work sessions where you get that stuff done and you realize that you actually do have enough time to get it all done, right? You really want to get yourself out of this state of chaos. It's really like a chaos and overwhelm problem. More than anything else.
Right. Yeah. And the surface level thing you're aware of is time management.
Is I don't have enough time.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, and I think that was pretty deep and insightful, right? I hope, at least.
I hope so. I mean, I hope, you know, I do think that the intention is like to give the tools that make the bigger difference. We talked about leverage, right?
Yeah.
I think these are all the things that make a bigger difference than, you know, switching from Notion to Workflow or whatever, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's, it's, it is what we strive to do with everything we do, right? Because the easy thing to do right now would be like, hey, here's the 9 best apps, and all the affiliate links are down below.
Yeah, yeah,
buy all of them now.
Buy all of them at the same time. So, yeah, so try that out. And I think, again, if you use these high leverage things, this makes a bigger difference. And also, I highly encourage, if you've listened to this and you're not familiar with the Focus 90 protocol, or maybe you heard us, you know, maybe you've heard about it a long time ago, but you haven't done it lately, highly recommend that you go to focusandaction.com. It's all one word, right? Focusandaction.com/F90. You can get the free, and I made a new one that is like more condensed so that you can download this into your brain as quickly as possible. The Focus 90 protocol is honestly like the best way to get the maximum juice out of your time spent on anything, working on
absolutely
anything. So highly recommend that you go do that if that's not already a daily habit. And that's it. That's my quick download on how to fix the time management problem.
Now get back to work. Get busy.